Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to another episode of Lighthouse Conversation. I am Marian Samuel, your host for the program. And with me on the telephone line is Mrs. Mitzi Francis, the Public Relations Officer from the National Office of Disaster Services here in Antigua, Barbuda. Welcome, Mrs. Francis.
Thank you, Marian.
Now, Mrs. Francis is here to discuss a tsunami exercise NODS will be participating in. But before you give us that information, let's scale back a little and help the listener to come to an understanding of the term tsunami and what it means for us here in the Caribbean, more so Antigua, Barbuda.
Okay, a tsunami is a series of water waves that can reach like over 100 feet onto land based on research, and they cause widespread destruction. They can happen as a result of earthquakes. You can also have volcanic eruptions causing tsunamis, landslides, and other disturbances that are above or below the water. In the past, based on what I've researched, people have referred to tsunamis as tidal waves, but there is a difference. Tidal waves are associated with tides and are caused by the wind, but the tsunamis are caused as a result of earthquakes, volcanoes, those sort of things.
I know it is difficult to detect the coming of a tsunami a day or two in advance, but preparation is important nevertheless. So what should one do before a tsunami?
Okay, one of the major things, or one of the main things that you should know what to do is, where should I go in case a tsunami should take place? And our advice to residents is that you go to higher ground. It could be a very high building, three-story building, the highest point in your community. I've also read that based on incidents that have happened in faraway countries, people have survived tsunamis by just climbing a tree. It depends on how high the tree also could be, but that also could be something that you could do to preserve your own life, okay? So you have to know where to go. You have to know the natural warning signs, because, yes, we do have alerts that would go out in case there is a major earthquake, which can be the cause of a tsunami. However, those alerts might not work. So we advise that residents know the natural warning signs, which would be a very strong earthquake. And this strong earthquake, we know that if it shakes, if you're standing and it's like you're going to fall to the ground, that is how you would determine that it's a major earthquake. If the sea pulls back from the coastline, that's another sign. There is also a very strong roar that comes from the sea that sounds like a train or airplane, I think. So those are the signs to tell you that a tsunami might be approaching.
Okay, besides an earthquake, are there other possible sources that can likely generate a tsunami?
Yes, you have the volcanic eruptions, where you would have disturbance in the water itself, or you'd have a landslide also. As long as there's a major disturbance in the sea, that can cause a tsunami.
Okay. If a tsunami is detected by scientists, how long would it take for a warning to be issued?
Okay, well, that depends on where the trigger has taken place. The trigger would be the earthquake, the volcanic eruption. It depends on where those things have happened. And they would have to do their investigation to determine, you know, how far the effects can be felt. There is an incident that happened some years ago. That was around, it was in 1755. There was a major earthquake in Portugal, okay. Lisbon, Portugal. Uh-huh. And as a result, we in Antigua experienced, we had wave heights of about 6 feet. And there are also countries that are in the region that were affected by tsunamis as a result of that earthquake. So it depends on where the trigger has taken place and where the effects could be felt as a result of that trigger. I need to make it clear, though, in terms of how long it takes for an alert to be sent to the public. Here in Antigua and Barbuda, we have the meteorological office, the local Met office, that operates on a 24-hour basis. So there is the Tsunami Warning Center that is located in Hawaii. And based on information that they would have received in terms of pending tsunami, the information is quickly sent to our local Met office here in Antigua, which I noted works on a 24-hour basis. And they are the ones who will actually send the alerts via all the media, all the communication aspects to the disaster office, which will then send information to the CAP alert to notify residents of a pending tsunami. And the CAP alert that we have been encouraging persons to download on their smartphones, CAP, which stands for Common Alerting Protocol, the message reaches users within seconds. Mm. So it's a situation where you would be notified quickly so you can take the quickest route to your safe area and really take the necessary actions that are needed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What can I expect during a tsunami?
All right. Tsunamis are very devastating. They don't happen too often, but when they do happen, a lot of lives are claimed. There's a lot of destruction. You would mostly find areas around the coast that will probably receive the greatest amount of damage. Basically, destruction, mm-hmm. Depending on the size, depending on how far the water is extended. And that is why we really try to focus on preparing residents so that they can know what exactly they should do, where they should go. We might be saying, oh, tsunamis, we don't have those things here in the region, but tsunamis have affected the Caribbean in the past. And as long as something has happened before, it can happen again. Mm-hmm. So we really want residents to be aware and to be knowledgeable of what tsunamis are, the effects they have, and how exactly you can protect your life.
What happens, though, after a tsunami?
One of the main things we advise is that residents should get the all clear from the authorities. And this would mean that the local authorities, once they get information from the International Tsunami Center that everything is fine, there's no longer a threat, the local authorities here in Antigua should send an alert to residents that it's safe for you to probably return to your home if there's no damage, or it's safe for you to really make your way to some other area that is safer. So the all clear is given that it's safe for you to return to your home or to move from where you are.
Where are the most vulnerable places in Antigua and Barbuda?
Okay, well, the most vulnerable area from the top of my head would be those areas that are on the coast. Hmm. Okay? Those would be the main vulnerable areas. However, it also depends on where the earthquake or the volcanic eruption has happened and where the tsunami will be traveling from. Okay, so it's important to know that kind of information. However, the coastal areas would be mostly affected initially.
Are there safe zones? Are there safe zones in Antigua, Barbuda to protect from a tsunami?
Well, we have identified a number of safe areas. Over the past years, when we've had our exercises, schools, businesses, and so forth have evacuated to high ground. And these areas we've identified as the St. John's Cathedral. That would be for areas within St. John's. You also have the Antigua Recreation Grounds. That those would be on the stands. Mm. You have the area where the hospital is located.
Oh, okay.
Michael's Mount,
mm-hmm.
Right. So there are a number of areas. And what we do when we have our exercises, we try to educate persons as to where these areas are. We've had exercises in the Bethesda area, and several areas were identified, mainly the area where the primary school was located. There's also the Methodist Church area. Mm. And there was also an area close to the Zion Church. We also had an exercise in the Grace Green area, and you have the Green Bay Hill, Cookville, basically the hilly areas, mm-hmm. for those areas. So we have identified those areas. What we need to do is to formally identify them, put down signs so that persons can know, right, these are areas that you relocate to in case a tsunami occurs.
Yeah, that would be wise. What about the center of the island? Would you encourage moving to another area since you're in the center of the island?
We do encourage that.
Mm, okay.
Because you don't know what might happen. As long as you can get to those areas in the quickest possible way,
mm-hmm.
we advise that.
Mm-hmm.
There might be high-story buildings also within those areas that we ask person that they can go to the very top of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we do advise that. That's the best thing that you should do in those events.
Okay. NADS will be participating in a regional tsunami exercise. Tell us more about this planned exercise.
Okay, this is an annual exercise that is facilitated by the Caribbean Disaster Emergency Management Agency, CDEMA, and that is the regional agency that manages disasters throughout the Caribbean. And it is held every year around February, March. This year is going to be held on March 23rd. And based on our scenario, we will be starting the exercise at 10:30 in the morning. There are several scenarios that are utilized during this exercise. I know for this exercise, there are two scenarios that we had the option of selecting. And these scenarios would be based on a mock incident that would have happened. Let's say, for instance, an earthquake took place off the coast of Martinique, and we will have to judge the time that it would take for waves to reach from Martinique to Antigua. So while we are doing our exercise, we have to make sure that persons who are evacuating would evacuate within the time that it takes for waves to reach Antigua. So the exercise is going to be on March 23rd, and we are looking forward to great participation. We have had good participation from the schools in the past and a number of workplaces, and we are hoping that this year it could be even greater.
Okay, will they trigger or use the radio emergency alert system as part of this test?
We will be using the CAP alert.
Okay.
That is our main mode of alerting residents to this exercise. So the CAP alert would be the alert that is sent on your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be sent via the radio stations, which Caribbean Radio Lighthouse has adopted. So
mm-hmm.
they're part of that program that the CAP alert is tested. And there are a number of other radio stations that have signed on to using the CAP alert. There's the Observer Radio, there is the ABS, state-owned media. They were the first who actually signed on to using that, mm-hmm. both radio and television. And there is a radio station in Villa that has also signed on to that. And also God First Radio. So we will be using the CAP alert to signal the start of the exercise. We are also hoping to utilize sirens, the police sirens, the ambulance sirens, so that persons are aware that something is happening. And if you don't know what is happening, you'll be asking questions, so you'll get information as to what has happened. So we're going to really be boosting awareness, hopefully this year.
Okay. Where can I find more information on tsunamis?
All right. We do have our website, nods.gov.ag, and we post information on our website. And leading up to the exercise, we also engaged in educational awareness so that we bring the awareness to you and we make you more knowledgeable. So all throughout this week, we've been posting information about tsunamis and to encourage participation in our exercise. There is also SEDIMA. SEDIMA has its website. There is there's a Caribbean Tsunami Information Center also, which I know utilizes Facebook and Instagram, along with us and SEDIMA. We're also utilizing Facebook and Instagram. So you can get the information at those places or other places on the internet.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to mention before we close off?
Okay. Just to encourage persons to download the CAP app on their smartphones. You go to your Play Store or whatever you have on your phone and you download that app. And it's going to be set to Anguilla, because Anguilla was the first in the region to really utilize this alert system. So you're going to have to change the settings from Anguilla to Antigua and Barbuda, and you'll see the flag of Antigua come up. And yes, so we urge persons to download the CAP app. This is our official alert system through the National Office of Disaster Services, and we have been utilizing this app to send messages from the Met Office. So this is a very useful tool for persons in Antigua and Barbuda. Hmm. And make sure you participate in our exercise on Thursday, the 23rd of March.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mrs. Mitzi Francis, the Public Relations Officer at NODS, National Office of Disaster Services, for updating and encouraging Antiguans and Barbudans to be on the alert in order to save as many lives as possible from this natural disaster called a tsunami. Thanks for sharing, Mincy.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome.
Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com. Or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454. Or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.caribbeanradiolighthouse.com. radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.